What does self-trust have to do with how we manage money?
Well, when we don't trust ourselves, we outsource our self-trust to other people or other beliefs, and it makes it really hard to make wise financial decisions. In this podcast, I'm going to share some of the common tips that I see in working with clients who struggle with low self-trust, how it shows up in their finances, and different tips that you can take to start nurturing and strengthening your relationship with yourself so you can make wise financial decisions. Hello, I'm Lindsay. I'm a financial therapist and founder of the financial wellness business, Mind Money Balance. I help people at the intersection of money and mental health, aka financial wellness, so they can feel good around their relationship with money. I'm also author of the book, The Financial Anxiety Solution, that you can get wherever books are sold. Let's just start with what the heck self-trust is. Self-trust is having confidence in and belief in your ability to make wise decisions in a way that feels good for you. It involves listening to your inner voice and knowing that your inner voice has your back as you navigate throughout life. And that is what allows you to make decisions that even if other people disagree with them, you can feel really safe and grounded in them because they matter to you. When we have strong self-trust, it allows us to move through the world knowing that there's no way we're going to make every single person around us happy, but we know that when we're doing things that are true to us and that are kind and rooted in our own worldview and a deep understanding of what we're good at, then that can have a positive ripple effect. Self-trust is not to be confused with grandiosity, however. Having self-trust is also trusting yourself to know, hey, I'm at the edge of my limits or my capabilities, and I trust myself enough to outsource and get some help or to ask for backup around this particular thing. Self-trust isn't about just like head down, blazing forward. It's about head down, blazing forward, being mindful of what's happening on the periphery, trusting yourself enough to stay on the path, and also listening to yourself when it's time to choose another path. When it comes to self-trust and money, when we don't trust our inner selves and our wisest selves, we often wrestle with wondering whether or not we're making the right decisions, whether we're making a mistake, whether or not we have the capacity to do things. We often limit our own self-growth and our own self-development because we're so fearful of that inner voice not leading us where we want to go. The way that this can harm us in terms of our money is that when we don't trust ourselves, we may make decisions that don't align with who we are or what matters to us. I'm going to share with you five common ways that I see low self-trust show up when it comes to how we engage with our money. The first way is seeking reassurance. Reassurance seeking is a behavior that happens when we need additional outside reinforcement to clarify something that we already know. This often comes up as anxiety, as an inability to tolerate the unknown, and it can look like asking other people or in today's day and age, looking to the internet to double check that the thing that you already know is true is actually true. This might look like deciding to move to a bigger apartment, running the numbers, knowing very confidently that you can afford an 8% increase in your rent, but consistently checking online calculators to make sure that you actually know what you already know. This could look like making a decision that you're okay making a lateral career move, even if it doesn't mean a different title or a pay raise, but you know that you need to make a move out of where you are right now to have a job that has better work-life balance. Even if you know that in your heart, you're constantly asking for the validity of friends or family that it's okay to make a move in your career, even if it doesn't mean that it's going to quote unquote look good or look like growth on your resume. That is reassurance seeking. When you know what you want to do, but you're asking other people for the stamp of approval to do the thing that you want to do. The second thing I see is negative self-talk and or an inability to accept or address positive wins. Negative self-talk when it comes to money is telling yourself things like, I'll never understand money, I'm too dumb to get it, or I always make mistakes. Having any of that negative energy can actually be a sign of not trusting yourself. And this goes hand in hand with the second part of this, which is an inability to pat yourself on your back when you have done a good thing. Let's say you've been working really hard on paying down your credit card debt and you finally get it below that 30% ratio and you're feeling really excited about it. Instead of giving yourself permission to feel really excited about the fact that you paid it down below that 30% ratio, you start telling yourself things like, well, 30% isn't even that good. Other people have done better than me. It took me way too long. You're dismissing all of those things. And that negative self-trust can then create this spiral or this cycle where you don't trust yourself to make good financial decisions, because when you do, you don't allow yourself to pat yourself on the back. The third thing sounds similar to the second thing, but it is underestimating your own knowledge and your own financial abilities. You'll notice that these all kind of play together, because the reality is when we feel badly about ourselves and when we don't trust ourselves, all these things kind of lump in together. But this one specifically, underestimating your knowledge or your abilities, is dismissing how much you know or how far you've come. For example, maybe you haven't started saving for retirement, and even though you haven't started saving for retirement, you've done a really good job of managing day-to-day and month-to-month expenses. And you have evidence of this because you pay your rent in full and on time. You've always made your car payments. You even have the ability to do things like pay for your car insurance 6 months at a time to get that discount. But instead of acknowledging the three things that you're doing really well, you tell yourself, well, I'm not that smart. I don't have the ability to manage my money because I'm not saving for retirement yet. The fourth thing is avoiding discomfort. When we have low self-trust because we don't know what our inherent values are or what matters to us, it can be really hard when we have to address financial tension or financial discomfort because we don't have that rootedness and that groundedness to keep us safe. The way this might look is when it comes to your annual review, instead of confidently sharing the different things that you've achieved over the year, highlighting the ways that you've progressed in your career, you get a little bit uncomfortable and you downplay those things. Or maybe there was some sort of billing mistake and your utility company charged you twice for 1 month. If you struggle with facing discomfort, you might have a hard time calling them or hopping online and doing the chat feature and saying, hey, I got billed twice this month. Can you please remedy this problem? When we struggle with confrontation, it's often because we cannot tolerate that feeling of discomfort, and it can impact our relationship with money too. And the fifth thing is ignoring how we really think or how we really feel based on what is popular or what is loud in the cultural zeitgeist. I see this so much with clients who are diving headfirst into things like financial independence or into wanting to start a side hustle. There is so much intense pressure to hurry up and hit fire. Sidebar, FIRE stands for financial independence, retire early. I might do a video on it in the future. But there's so much pressure to hurry up and hit financial independence or to hurry up and 10x your side hustle that we can sometimes lose touch with whether we want to do the side hustle at all or why we want to achieve financial independence in the first place. Let's say financial independence absolutely matters to you. And for you, financial independence looks like being able to work part-time by the time you turn 45. If that's your goal and you have a plan for it and you have a path for it, but you don't trust yourself, you might fall into believing that you need to own 10 rental properties in order to hit FI before 45. In the example that I gave about 10xing your side hustle, when you have low self-trust, you don't know whether you want to 10x your side hustle or whether that's somebody else's rules. When we have low self-trust and it shows up in our relationship with money, we might start engaging in financial tactics that we actually don't want to be doing in the first place. So quick recap of those five. Reassurance seeking, negative self-talk or an inability to celebrate your wins, underestimating your own financial knowledge and abilities, avoiding feeling uncomfortable around money, and ignoring your own values in the face of what's popular. If you are loving today's episode and want more, you can inquire about bringing me in to speak at your conference or to your organization. Simply head to mindmoneybalance.com/speaking to get in touch. I've tailored presentations for professional development days at regional healthcare organizations, personal finance content creators at large conferences, and financial self-care for employee resource groups. Reach out and let's start talking about what could be beneficial for your workplace or conference needs. Again, that's mindmoneybalance.com/speaking. Back to the episode. So now I told you how I see negative self-trust show up let's talk about how we can start building that muscle and building that resilience around trusting ourselves so we can make stronger and wiser financial decisions. Instead of relying on just external validation, we have to start strengthening our inner trust. Some of these examples might feel really big. Dial them down to a place that feels good for you. The first practice to help you build self-trust is to grab and find a personal finance mantra that feels good for you. I know mantras or affirmations can feel really cheesy or really out there. And the reason they usually feel cheesy or out there is because we go way too big or way too bold right away. We go from something super negative to super positive, and our brain and our body respond by saying, whoa, 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 that feels like you're lying to me. Please don't do that. So instead of going from a negative thought all the way over to a positive thought or a positive affirmation, if you struggle with mantras, find a place in the middle. This gives your brain and your body the ability to jump on board and start trusting that mantra or that affirmation. This might look like saying something like, I can trust myself to make wise financial decisions. If that feels too big, bring it into neutrality by saying something like, I'm working on learning to trust myself around financial decisions, or giving a very concrete example to yourself of a way that you can trust yourself financially, such as, I trust that I can reward myself with a weekly coffee at a local cafe because I trust myself to look at my income and look at my expenses. You can get that granular when it comes to creating a self-trust mantra that works for you in terms of your relationship with money. Other examples of things that you could try out are things like, it's safe for me to save money. I'm allowed to say no. It's safe for me to save money. I'm allowed to say no if people ask me for money. And I'm worthy of practicing financial self-care. Number two, give yourself a little challenge. When it comes to low self-trust in dealing with money, we often struggle to make decisions. So the reason I say give yourself a time-based challenge or a deadline is that it often helps to clarify or solidify what you actually want to do. For example, if you're spending an inordinate amount of time researching which different high-yield savings account is the best for you, ask yourself, if I had to make a decision by the end of today, which bank or credit union would I choose? Oftentimes, that helps to elicit a response, and doing little exercises like that can help us to start trusting that inner voice. Another way to do a time-based challenge is to set a timer and make a decision by the end of that timer. Let's say you've been applying to apartments and you got accepted at two amazing apartment complexes and you're struggling with which one is better because they each have their pros and they each have their cons. Tell yourself that you will give yourself 24 hours and then at the end of the 24 hours, you will email back one of those apartment complexes and accept the offer to move into that apartment complex. Give yourself a little bit of that pressure of that deadline can help us elicit the choice that we actually want to make. Number three is start celebrating your money wins. No matter how small, you can celebrate and pat yourself on the back to start building that strength in your mind that, wow, I have the capacity to do things related to money. Often when I tell clients, hey, you should celebrate that win, they get a little confused because let's say the goal was to save money. We often associate celebrating with spending money, like going out to eat or buying a pair of shoes. Those might be ways to celebrate, but there are other ways to celebrate too. A way to celebrate a money win is to text your group chat and say, hey, I just paid off a credit card, and let those popper emojis come flying in, or those celebratory gifs come flying in to your text thread. Another thing you could do is bake yourself a tray of cupcakes and enjoy a couple of them. You could also just write it down. You could write it down if you have a gratitude journal or in your notes app. I love to take little notes as I'm thinking about them to remind myself of the positive things that I've done. When I was starting out early in my career as a therapist, somebody told me to create an accolades or a thank you folder where they would put literally the times in which they had a client give them some positive accolades, they achieved something at work, they got a positive email, they would like print it out or write it out and put it into this literal folder to look at on those days when life was really hard as a therapist. And I think that we can do that with money too. It can feel really overwhelming when we're working on competing goals and dealing with competing demands. So giving yourself the ability to pat yourself on the back and actually saving them somewhere so you can look at it when you're having a hard time can help. The next thing to do is do a little congruence check-in. A congruence check-in is making sure that the decisions that you're making with money are aligned with what matters to you and aren't being influenced by outside sources. So for example, is buying and flipping sneakers to make extra money the way that you actually want to spend your downtime? Really think through that if that is a source of income, or replace whatever side hustle of choice you have. Is going all in on rental properties aligned with your values of living in a sustainable community? Think through whether or not those things are aligned with your values to help nurture and strengthen your financial self-trust. I mentioned at the very beginning when I was talking about self-trust that a big part of self-trust is knowing yourself enough when to say, ooh, this is outside of my strength or my scope. I need to get backup. I need to get help. When it comes to asking for help, be really clear on the specific type of help that you want to get and making sure that the person or place that you're asking for help from really understands who you are and what matters to you. Let's go back to this example of a person who wants to work part-time when they turn 45. If that's a goal for them and they have crunched all of the numbers and they feel like 80% confident that they can do it, but they just want someone to check their work, they can hire a financial planner for a one-time review to essentially check their work and make sure that they're on track and offer suggestions to help ensure that they meet that goal, or offer some tweaks to help them achieve that goal, maybe by 47 instead of 45. That would be an aligned way to seek help. A non-aligned way to seek help in that instance would be going to a financial planner who thinks that going part-time at 45 is foolish and isn't doable, and that the safest thing to do is work until you're 67. That is a way to manage your money and move through life. But if that's not the way you want to manage your money and move through life, then don't seek advice from a person who has radically different values or beliefs about what you should do. So it's just about like checking in and making sure that when you're asking for help, which is absolutely something you can and should do, you're asking for advice from a person or from an online forum that actually aligns with the values that you care about. And finally, flip a coin. Now, this only works if you are struggling to make a decision between two choices, especially when some of the choices that we are going to make feel so overwhelming. Flipping a coin can tell you a lot about what actually matters to your inner self. For example, if you are in the market for a new car and you have done all of your research around how much you can afford, the type of features that matter to you on the car, including gas mileage, color, interior, exterior, all-wheel drive, whatever really matters to you, you found this list, you have your budget, you know what you want, and you find two vehicles that check every single box on that list, and you're struggling between the blue vehicle and the black vehicle, flip a coin. The reason I say flip a coin is when you flip that coin, if heads was the blue vehicle and tails was the black vehicle, if it lands on heads, blue, and you feel in your gut, you're like, I really wanted the black one. You don't have to listen to the coin. When you get an answer you don't want, oftentimes your internal compass will start screaming at you to tell you what you do want. So flip a coin, and if you feel excited about what you got, go with it. And if you feel disappointed with what you got, go with the other one. By adopting these different self-trust practices, you can slowly start to shift your relationship with money so you can start trusting your own instincts, your own wisdom, and also knowing when it's time to reach for help that you're reaching for help that supplements or supports your decision instead of finding help that takes away your agency about who you are or what you want to do. I hope these tips around financial self-trust help. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'll see you next time. Your support of this podcast means the absolute world. If you love listening, I would love if you could help me out by quickly rating and reviewing this podcast on the podcast player you're using right now. This quick but meaningful action helps to support the show, and it helps others find it too. I absolutely love connecting with my listeners. So if something resonated from today's episode, take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and be sure to tag me on Instagram at mindmoneybalance. This podcast simply simply wouldn't be possible without the help of others. Thank you to RJ Basillo for masterfully editing this podcast, to Liberty Sales, who creatively and brilliantly helps market the show to help those who need it find it by leveraging her public health communication skills. And thank you to Leslie Tagorda and Jeffrey Campanero of Star Powered, who've infused their creative genius into the cover and episode art with the unique magic of the Astro Brand astrology-based branding process. Disclaimer. Everything shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host nor the guests are providing legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or any other professional advice. If you are seeking professional help, please find it. See you next time.